morning, Christy. This is Casey.
Hi, Casey.
So when you get to 9 o'clock, let me know and I'll call the meeting to order.
Okay, that sounds good.
Good morning, Caleb Dushak here.
Hey, Caleb.
How are you this morning?
Very good. Did you get my email back from the note you sent me?
Yes, I did. I've got to email you back. I'm sorry I've been in sort of midterms for the last week.
Okay. Let me know.
Of course, we'll do.
Thank you.
Hello, Tim Mahalik's joined.
Morning, Tim. Casey.
How are you?
Good, thanks.
Good. You guys, did you get any snow head your way? Did everything go south, or did they even get any snow down that way?
No snow here. No snow in Grand Forks. It was a beautiful day yesterday.
Yeah, it's been. Looks like we got a nice forecast in front of us, so.
We had snow in Bismarck, but it didn't stick around. It just turned everything into a skating rink for a while.
Oh, okay.
Christy, is it 9 o'clock?
It just turned 9 o'clock.
I have 8:59.
I will call the meeting to order and have Christy take roll, please.
Chair Ryan?
Here.
Ms. Nesset?
Here.
Mr. Morton? Mr. Dushak?
Here.
Mr. Mahalik? Ms. Lauder?
Here.
Ms. Mattern?
Here.
Dr. Dragseth?
Here.
Hey, Mr. Morton? BSC?
Yes, Dan Langane is here, and Larry will be here shortly.
BSU?
I'm sorry, if that was Dickens Estate, this is Steve Easton here.
Thank you. Hey, Regent?
It's Doug Garland here.
Hey, Bill?
Good morning, Brian Van Horn here.
Mina?
Good morning, Christy, this is Steve.
CB?
Good morning, this is Jerry.
NDSCS?
Good morning, Christy. This is John.
NDSU.
Good morning, Christy. Dean Brashani here.
UND.
Good morning, everyone. Josh Wynn here.
Valley City.
Good morning. Al LaFave here.
Williston.
Good morning, Christy. John Miller here.
Thank you. In the system office, we got the chancellor and all the vice chancellors in the conference room here. So, Dr. Ryan, I'll turn it over to you.
Very good. First item is the agenda. I would, any adjustments to the agenda? Otherwise, I'll ask for a motion to approve as stated on the mailed out by Christy, I believe, early this morning or late yesterday.
Member Mahalik here, motion to approve the agenda.
And Morton, I'll second.
There's a second. Christy, would you please take roll?
Mr. Morton?
Yes.
Mr. Deschamps?
Yes.
Ms. Nesbitt?
Yes.
Mr. Mahalik?
Yes.
Ms. Lauder?
Yes.
Chair Ryan?
Yes. Agenda is approved. Thank you. Now we move to the consent agenda, which carries items 2 through 6. If there are no items that people want to discuss within that consent agenda, I would ask for a motion to approve items 2 through 6.
Member Mahalik here, I'd make that motion.
And Member Mahalik, second.
Member Lauder, second.
Thank you, Member Lauder. Any discussion? Christy, would you please take roll?
Mr. Deschamps?
Yes.
Ms. Lauder?
Yes.
Mr. Morton?
Yes.
Ms. Nesbitt?
Yes.
Mr. Mahalik?
Yes.
Chair Ryan?
Yes. Next, we'll move to Board Action BSC to name the BSC Health Sciences Building, the Donna Thigpen Center for Health Sciences. President Scogin, did you want to say something?
Well, we're certainly here to answer any questions. We've submitted this, and it did go to the Budget and Finance Committee already, and then I can certainly answer questions, or if you want me to make an argument here, I can do that as well, or whatever the pleasure of the board is.
I think what I'll do is I'll ask Member Mahalik to address it, as he is chair of BFC, and it was discussed last week at BFC, or at Budget Finance Committee. So, Member Mahalik, do you want to weigh in on this?
Yep. Thank you, Chair Ryan. Last week we did have discussion around the naming of the BSC Health Science Building to the Donna S. Thigpen Center for Health Sciences. We've had a lot of back and forth. We've had people weighing in on the pro and con regarding this. I've spent quite a bit of time over the last week doing my own research, talking to different people, and trying to make my own decision, I guess, as we move forward. And as it came out of Budget and Finance, we did vote to approve it, but other information has come to us since then. That being said, I went back and did some research on my own on the Internet. I went back and found the 75th anniversary edition of the BSC Connections, which was printed in August of 2013. Which really gave a synopsis of Dr. Thigpen's time at BSC, the things she accomplished. And from my perspective, as I looked through that, there's information around the things that she did. I think it was Provost Drake Carter talked about Dr. Thigpen was a ball of fire. She was a real change agent. Her interest in driving BSC forward. not only to be the best it can be in Bismarck Mandan, but any place in the country or around the world. And some other things throughout that really jumped out at me that talked about what she has accomplished at the university and really leaving it in a better place than it was when she arrived and took over as president. I also saw where in 2012, BSC, at their 72nd commencement ceremony, presented Dr. Sigman with the Distinguished Service Award at the commencement for guiding BSC from a traditional campus to a forward-thinking institution that offers on-campus and state-of-the-art online education. And in that sense, in weighing all those, it would be my pleasure to make a motion to take the BSC Health Sciences building and name it the Don S. Thigpen Center for Health Sciences.
Thank you, Member Mihalik. Is there a second for that motion?
Second, Don Morton.
Thank you, Member Morton. Discussion.
This is Dr. Dragseth. There are three questions.
Go ahead, Dr. Dragseth.
Okay. Thank you. There were three things that came up that I was asked to query, probably Dr. Scogan. The first one is fairly pragmatic. What is the cost of renaming and re-signing, putting new signs on a building?
Would you like me to answer these one at a time?
Yeah, no, that's fine. I can ask all three. My second one, I think, was fairly well answered by Member Mihalik. It was the concern of the faculty, the letter from Dr. Riegler, just wondering if there were any formal evaluations other than what was in the newspaper, you know, just concerns from the faculty. And then my third one's a little bit tongue-in-cheek, we've heard that there's every president at Bismarck State, every former president has a building named after him or her. Is that the case?
Every former male president has a building named after him.
All right, thanks. Thanks, Larry. So I guess the tongue-in-cheek question was, is that something, you know, we always talk about carrots and sticks for our presidents. Is that something to put in the contract? You're going to get a name building named after you. And again, that's just a joke. So.
Yeah, thank you.
But the first two questions, I think, are valid.
Okay, to begin with, the cost of it, there is no cost because we've just moved into the facility and we're just working on putting up signage. So it's not taking down any signage and putting up any new signage. So this is the signage that we're talking about and that we're seeking approval from the board. Secondly, the faculty that are most involved in this, which is, of course, the health sciences folks, were very, very involved in this selection and how it was named and so forth. So the conversation with that group of faculty, and they were very supportive of it.
Thank you, Dr. Scoven.
Other discussion? Hearing none. Christy, would you please take roll?
I do have a comment, Dr. Ryan.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Member Nesset.
Yeah, I apologize. I appreciate the discussion that we've had here, but there has been additional discussion outside of this meeting from interested parties and such that have been brought to my attention, and I just would put the idea out there, perhaps we just get a little bit more information on this and not vote on this at this point, that perhaps we table this this action of the board at this point.
Is that a motion?
That is a motion. I will move to table the naming of the building at Bismarck State until more information is obtained.
Okay. Motion has been made to table it.
Yes.
Is there a second for that motion?
Terry, Christy, going to jump in because they already have an existing motion.
Does it need a second on that to be tabled? Eric, are you there?
Yes. Acting Chair Ryan, that is correct. We would need a second on that because there is a pending motion.
Okay. Is there a second to that motion? No second, so motion dies for lack of a second.
Excuse me, Chair. Member Deshaw.
Oh.
I'd be curious to hear a little bit more about the secondary conversation. I wouldn't feel comfortable voting on a tabling motion without knowing a little bit more about some of these conversations that were taking place, and that was out of the knowledge I have at this point.
Tim or Larry, do you want to respond to that? Or Kathy, Member Nesset?
Well, this is Nesset. I just had more information brought to me in the last 2 days. I just don't feel like I've had a chance to vet it all, and I just wanted an opportunity for a little more time. I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
I think when this is Chair Ryan. When things came out in the last week, first of all, there was no other discussion. There was no other information at the budget finance meeting last week, and it was pretty much a straight-through recommendation. Some of the information negative came out earlier this week or later last week, and then supportive recommendations came out this week. So I think, and I know there's a motion on the floor, but the other option is if we were to table it, I think it needs to go back to budget finance to address all the issues that have been raised. So I guess that's where we're at as to whether or not people want to table it.
Yeah, Member Mahalik here again. You know, I guess my comment regarding the concerns of the other discussions and conversations, you know, I did too, as you just touched on, Chair Ryan, received the information both, as I said, pro and con regarding the naming of Dr. Thigpen. Read through those, that information, again, went back and tried to do as much internet searching as I'm capable of to find out what I could. And, you know, and as I touched on, really went back to the 75th anniversary edition of the Connections magazine to draw the information, made my decision for the naming for Dr. Thigpen. You know, it talked about her leadership here as well regarding the National Energy Center and raising and leading a capital campaign that was successful to accomplish that. So, I, you know, again, as I weighed those back and forth, my ultimate decision was the motion I presented. So that's all I have to offer. Thank you.
Mahalik, thank you for all your additional work. So I'm going to go back and I'm going to retract a little and say, is there a second to the motion for this to be tabled?
Chair Ryan, this is Eric Olson. If I could just get a point of information. If this is a motion to table, then it would not be recommitted to it would not be re-referred to the committee. If it's a motion to commit, that cannot be made while there is a standing motion to approve.
Well, that motion would have to be defeated, and then the new motion would have to come forward.
That's correct.
So I'll ask for, is there a second to the table motion by Member Nesset? Okay, hearing none, we're back to the original motion. Is there any further discussion? Okay, then I would ask Christy to take a vote.
Mr. Mahalik?
Yes.
Ms. Nesset?
No.
Ms. Lauder?
Yes.
Mr. Morton?
Yes.
Mr. Deshock?
Yes.
Board Chair Ryan?
Yes. Thank you. Motion carries. We'll move to item number 8, first reading, maybe second reading, and final adoption. And I believe this would go to Carol Redman.
Good morning, Chair Ryan and members of the board. Excuse my voice. SPHE policies 101, the table of contents, and 104, distribution of the manual, were last reviewed in 1982 and 1996. However, both policies relate to the organization and distribution of the policy manual in paper form. Since the policies are now all managed electronically, we don't feel there's a need for these policies, and I would recommend that the board vote to delete these policies.
Thank you, Carol. Is there a motion?
Yes, Chair Ryan, Member Lauder, so moved.
So motion then is to first reading, waive second reading for those policies?
Policy 101, policy 404, correct.
Thank you. Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Point of information, Chair Ryan, this is Eric Olson. Just questioning Member Louders that her motion is as to policy 101 and 104, correct?
Yes, correct. Yes. Policy 101, policy 404, first reading, waiving second reading for final adoption today. Thank you.
I'm sorry, Member Louders, that was 101 and 104 or 404?
104 as printed, correct? That's what.
Yes, thank you.
Yes.
I just wanted to get that clear on the record.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have a motion. Any discussion? Okay, Christy, take the roll.
Mr. Deshock?
Yes.
Mr. Morton?
Yes.
Ms. Nesbitt?
Yes.
Ms. Louder?
Yes.
Mr. Mihalik?
Yes.
Board Chair Ryan?
Yes. Next, we'll move to reaffirm on the four policies noted. I'd ask Jane Grindy to speak to these.
Good morning, Chair Ryan and members of the board. As part of the periodic board review process for board policies older than 10 years, I have four policies for your review today. All four policies have no substantive changes, and they were all sent through council's cabinet and approved at Budget Finance Committee last week. The policies are 608.3 professional staff compensation, 701.1 leave without pay, 702.4 campus administration of salary increase funds, and 703.2 benefits. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions on these policies. If no questions, the proposed action would be to waive first reading and approve second for reaffirmation.
Any questions for Jane?
Member Mihalik, I would make a motion to waive or to reaffirm these and waive the second reading and move them forward.
We have a motion from Member Mihalik, seconded. Further discussion? Christy, please take roll.
Ms. Nesbitt?
Yes.
Mr. Deshock?
Yes.
Ms. Louder?
Yes.
Mr. Morton?
Yes.
Mr. Mihalik?
Yes.
Board Chair Ryan?
Yes. Thank you. Motion passes. We'll move on to item G. Lisa Johnson.
Chair Ryan, members of the board, policy 515, North Dakota Student Association, is a new temporary policy. The proposed policy essentially establishes the North Dakota Student Association as a functionally independent entity that would have limited board oversight regarding the use of student association fees and facilitates compliance with state laws and regulations. It also covers the required areas to permit student association delegates access to state fleet vehicles and other shared services of the North Dakota University system during the pendency of these issues. Essentially, this policy establishes a way for the North Dakota Student Association to continue functioning as they have, and as written, the policy will expire at the end of this fiscal biennium, which is July 1st, 2021. Again, this permits the North Dakota Student Association ample time to consider the options available to them as an organization. The policy has been reviewed by the Chancellor's Cabinet and the Council's, the Administrative Affairs Council, Academic and Student Affairs Council, and then culminating in the Academic and Student Affairs Committee leading to the board today. I want to thank Mr. Olson as well as the Student Association President, Ms. Camby Smith, and Board Rep Caleb Deshock in shepherding this through on relatively short notice. And I seek the board's approval today, waiving first read, approving on second and final adoption of the new temporary board policy 515 for the North Dakota Student Association.
Thank you, Lisa. Are there questions for Lisa?
Chair Ryan, this is Member Louders. I will move second reading and final adoption of policy 515 as presented.
Thank you, Member Louders.
I'll second the motion.
Seconded by other discussion?
If I could make a brief conversation point, Chair.
Go ahead. Please, Caleb. You were there.
Well, I definitely want to thank Lisa Johnson and Eric Olson for their support in getting this policy through. It's probably one of the most important issues for students at this current moment so that we can continue functioning the way that we have. So it's greatly appreciated that their quick efforts have allowed this to get done so fast, and I appreciate the board for considering it.
Good. Thank you, and we appreciate your involvement in the whole process. Any other discussion? Pat, please take roll.
Mr. Mihalik?
Yes.
Ms. Neffet?
Yes.
Mr. Morton?
Yes.
Mr. Deshock?
Yes.
Ms. Lauder?
Yes.
Board Chair Ryan?
Yes. Policy 515 is approved. Thank you. And we'll move on to Policy 601.1. Eric Olson. President.
Thank you, Chair Ryan. I apologize. I was on mute, it turns out.
We can't hear you on your mute.
Yeah, that's not terribly helpful. So this is a policy change that was requested by Board Chair Nick Acker to sort of clear up some of the formalities regarding signing presidential contracts, given the change to a more in-depth presidential contract. The primary change to this policy, other than some format changing, is to paragraph 5, which basically requires that previously required the SBAC to approve the terms of all contracts with presidents. This has been changed to have the SBAC approve the form of a new president's contract, and then permits the state board to appoint its chair to negotiate within the framework of that form contract and give final approval to the negotiated agreement. This would obviate the requirement that provided the requirement that the chair or the board's representative would have to bring contracts with new presidents back to the state board for approval, assuming that the negotiations remained within the terms of that form contract. So with that, I would be happy to consider any questions that any board members have.
Questions for Eric?
Yes.
Chair Ryan?
No questions. Go ahead.
Chair Ryan, where are we on this? This is Amendment Policy 601.1. Is this first reading since this is changed? Or what is the procedure here?
It is first reading, and it was put under first reading, waive second reading, and final adoption.
Thank you.
Is there a motion or other questions? And if none, then I would like to hear a motion.
I'd move to first reading, waive second reading, and final adoption. Member Mihalik here.
Thank you, Member Mihalik. Is there a second?
Second, Morton.
Thank you, Member Morton. Further discussion? Christy, would you please take roll?
Mr. Morton?
Yes.
Ms. Lauder?
Yes.
Mr. Mihalik?
Yes.
Ms. Neffet?
No.
Mr. Deshock?
Yes.
Board Chair Ryan?
Yes. So the policy 601.1 passes. We'll now move to number 9, first reading for policy 340.2. Robin?
Thank you, Chair Ryan and members of the board. The proposed change to policy 340.2 in paragraph 5 is to address a recurring state auditor recommendation regarding the timely submission of audited financial statements by some of our smaller foundations. This change would move the deadline from September 15th to October 31st for foundations that are not included in the NDUS financial statements, but that meet both of the criteria in paragraph 5B. This will allow the smaller foundations more time to complete their audits and does not affect the completion of our annual financial statements. It may also help them with scheduling their audits because auditing firms are typically very busy in late summer and early fall with June 30th
year-end audits, and this has contributed to some of the delays in receiving some of these financial statements. This was presented to the Council, the Chancellor's Cabinet, and the Budget and Finance Committee, and there were no questions or concerns raised. The state auditors also did not have any concerns with this change as long as these financial statements are submitted to them by October 31st, because they do need to review them as part of their audit procedures, even though these entities are not included in our financial statements. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Robin. Are there questions for Robin?
Chair Ryan, Member Louders, I'll recommend first reading. Motion to recommend first reading policy 340.2 as presented.
Thank you, Member Louders. Is there a second?
Second, Member Mahalik.
Second, Member Mahalik. Any further discussion? Misty, would you please take roll?
Mr. Deshack?
Yes.
Mr. Mahalik?
Yes.
Mr. Morton?
Yes.
Ms. Nassett?
Yes.
Ms. Louder?
Yes.
Board Chair Ryan?
Yes. Thank you. First reading policy 340.2 is passed. We'll go to item number 10, second reading on policies 805.3 and 820, presented by Tammy.
Thank you. Bringing to you the changes to policies 820 and 805.3 for second read and final adoption today. As we discussed at the last board meeting, the changes, the combination of the changes to both policy 805.3 and 820 would provide the institutions the flexibility to determine whether or not they would charge an application fee. They are able to set that. It would also cap that at $35 would be the highest fee that they could charge. Since the last meeting, I have not received any additional feedback or comments on either one of these policy changes, and I would ask that you adopt them for final approval today. Are there any questions?
Any questions for Tammy? Thank you, Tammy. Hearing none, can we have a motion?
Member Mahalik here, I'd make a motion to approve the second reading of policy 805-3 and policy 820.
Motion, is there a second?
Second, Morton.
Thank you, Member Morton. Any further discussion? Christy, would you please take roll?
Mr. Louder?
Yes.
Mr. Morton?
Yes.
Ms. Nassett?
Yes.
Mr. Mahalik?
Yes.
Mr. Deshaw?
Yes.
Board Chair Ryan?
Yes. Second reading for 805.3 and 820 are approved. Thank you to the group and to Tammy. Next, we'll move to board reports and discussion. First, Audit Committee, Member Nesset, I see you didn't have a meeting. Do you want to make any updates?
No, I do not have any updates. Our last meeting was January 24th. We've had no meeting since the last board meeting, so no update. Thank you.
Thank you. Academic and Student Affairs, Member Louder.
Yes, Chair Ryan, members of the board, thank you. I'll provide a brief update regarding our meeting. The last meeting of the Academic and Student Affairs Committee was held on February 18th. As the board approved today, the tenure requests were presented, so we certainly want to congratulate NDSU, Dr. Daryl Ross, and Dr. Kimberly Whalen, I believe, for being awarded tenure at that respective institution. We also, and again, ASAC is the final authorization for academic requests. We received several requests from campuses across the system. What I appreciate about those requests, many of them were focused on program approval for personalized learning experiences. For example, a BS in education in Indigenous language education, a minor in English language learning, a certificate in autism spectrum disorder. And we did have a robust committee conversation about how our campuses are really reaching out to our state's diverse populations and addressing the unique needs, learning needs of those populations. So I can really appreciate that, and I believe the committee really valued those new program requests. Also want to really commend Mayville State for bringing forward a request for a BS in agribusiness. My understanding is that program will be delivered both face-to-face and online, and we've talked many times at this committee on this board about the importance of the ag sector in the North Dakota economy, and certainly Mayville has stepped forward and addressed some of the needs of our students, specifically those making, creating opportunities for students in the western part of the state to participate in that program online, because we all understand that to be a need at this time. So was very excited to see that. Policy 515 presented to this full board today, which was approved by the board regarding North Dakota Student Association, was discussed. And then I'll just add, Chair Ryan, if I may, I will be asking the Executive Director of the Western Interstate Commission for Higher Education, of which I represent this board on the WICHE Commission, to forward the annual report to the board. You'll see that in your email shortly. That was distributed to the board members, and I'll pass that along to the state board members so you can review that annual report, noting specifically the services that WICHE provides in the behavioral health program area. They have some tremendous service that may be available in the future to the state in the area of consultation and technical assistance. So, board members, you can look forward to that annual report on your email shortly. Thank you, Chair Ryan. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer those. And if not, that is my report.
Any questions for Member Lauder? Again, thank you. Next report, Research Committee. We did not meet in February. We will not meet in March. We're presently getting input from both Eastern and Western North Dakota on our legacy fund proposal that the committee has put together. This will be discussed at our April meeting, and in addition, the other main item at the April meeting will be to get measurable metrics from UND and NDSU that can be used in moving forward for the research committee. So with that, members of the committee are Member Nesset and Member Morton, along with UND President Nguyen, NDSU President Pashani. We have two other, a member from the research communities of each committee, of each university, and then we have Dr. David DeMuth from Valley City is also on the committee. So pleased with where we're at, moving forward, and seems to be in line with what's happening as it relates to legacy fund issues. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions. Hearing none, we'll move on to governance report from Member Morton.
Yes, we met on Friday, the 21st, and we've already talked about policy 101 and 104 that we passed, and policy 601. We did talk about President's evaluation study, the tiered evaluations. Chancellor Hagrip, we had a discussion around that, and we also had a discussion around renewal and presidential contracts. And I was traveling, and I happened to lose my notes. I know we tabled. Was that the one we tabled, Mark?
Yes, Member Morton. The one that
that Member Hacker wanted to just think through a bit more was the idea of having the annual review supplemented by about every 3 to 4 years, a deeper look, you know, equivalent of something like, campus visits, feedback, focus groups, and giving time for presence to have longer-term goals that take a few years. So it was a good discussion, but, yeah, that was what was tabled to consider again.
Okay, yeah, we will have a discussion and come back with a recommendation at the appropriate time on that. That's all I have, Chair Ryan.
Thank you, Member Morton. Any questions, Member Morton? Thank you. None. We'll move on to Budget and Finance Committee. Member Mihalik.
Thank you, Chair Ryan. A lot of what we discussed, and we met last Tuesday, February 18th, has been covered today, policies and some of it in the consent agenda. A few things I'd like to bring you up to date on is that we did have a presentation from David Kresbach about the funding formula, so we had an explanation on that, and that kind of segues into the budget timeline that Tammy brought us up to date as we look towards the legislative session. Again, it's going to be here quicker than we think, so we've begun working and we'll continue to move forward. Lastly, I just wanted to touch on an update regarding the professional student exchange program, which has been administered by the NDUS office for a number of years. That allows students attending out-of-state programs, veterinary medicine, optometry, and dentistry, since those programs are not offered within the state of North Dakota, some help in getting the large tuition payment, so it allows them to receive sizable scholarships from North Dakota. The 2019 Legislative Assembly instituted a service requirement regarding that for those students who receive funding under that program, and that there was an agreement put in place that Eric Olson accomplished for us. That program will begin in June of 2020 for those students entering those programs, that starting date or later. They must sign an agreement with the State Board of Higher Ed prior to receiving payment. And really what the statute requires is that the veterinary medicine students must begin practicing within the state within 36 months following program completion or upon leaving the program of study or repay the amount of the agreement in full at that time. Optometry and dentistry students must begin practicing in the state within 36 months following program completion or repay the amount of the agreement in full at that time. Optometry and dentistry students who leave the program of study will be required to repay the amount of the agreement in full immediately, so if they were to leave earlier than that. So for each full year of practice in the state, the recipient's field of study, the repayment agreement is reduced by a third. If the recipient stops practicing in the state prior to meeting the terms of the agreement, the remaining portion of the non-canceled agreement also becomes repayable. So it kind of changes what's happened in the past. And recipients could apply for a loan from the Bank of North Dakota to repay that, but of course would have to meet credit issues. Repayment can be deferred for full-time graduate or postdoctoral studies or for active call to duty. As well, those cancellation agreement may apply for permanent or total disability, or in the event of a death of recipient. So that's kind of a big change, I think, from what we've had in the past, and so I just wanted to highlight that for you. Any questions?
This is Dr. Dragseth, and I apologize I didn't quite get my mute button off on time, but I do have a quick question for Mr. Morton about the governance committee.
The budget finance. Any further questions for Member Mihalik? Okay, hearing none. Thank you. And again, thank you for your work on the extra work that you did this past week on the member or on the building.
No problem. Thank you.
BSC.
Thank you. Member Morton, it's just a quick question on the part of the Council of College Faculties. The renewal contract proposal that was discussed at the Governance Committee, just want to make sure that I heard you correctly, that was postponed or put on hold?
It was tabled, yes.
Tabled, yes. Okay, thank you very much.
Very good. Any other questions for any of the committee chair? None. We'll move on to the chancellor's report.
Thank you.
Greg Roth.
All right. Thank you, Vice Chair, Acting Chair today. A lot of stuff going on, so we try not to burden you with too much, but I'll hit the high points here. I was invited out to address the Legacy Fund Earnings Committee. So as background, the special committee was formed to address the Legacy Fund. It's traveled around the state, co-chaired by Senator Wardner and Representative Pollard, with a lot of the key leaders of the legislature on that committee, Representative Delzer, and then his also vice chair of appropriations, Senator Heckman, Senator Klein, Representative Nathan, a lot of very influential legislators, standing room only, and briefed the concept, a synthesis of what you all received over the holiday of our working group from the cabinet, numerous options of how, if there's legacy money available, we can invest in key emerging areas of research, workforce, well-known areas of change, for example, online, and I'll bring up on the next one what the governor was saying about online. So we basically call it the Higher Education Innovation Fund. We sent the copy of it to each of you. You can look over. Feedback is welcome because I think we may also be presenting this to the interim committee. But well received. Got good feedback from Senator Wardner later, and you know, they seem very serious about prioritizing higher education in what monies that may be available. Any questions on that before I jump to the next item? Okay. The Higher Education Committee, I'll just keep going, Dr. Ryan. Item 17, I want to thank NDSU. They hosted that wonderful facility and meals, and NDSU research and other aspects were featured, and they gave detailed briefings on a range of subjects. But what was most I think probably interesting to you all here was the governor was added late in the game, and I'll just hit some of the high points because the state board was referenced multiple times. He started out by saying, you know, I've read the state board policies, and people who say we can't focus on new economic diversification are in error because it's right in the precepts of the state board's mission of workforce economic diversification. He said, have no doubt higher education is a business. It is the largest employer of state employees. There's 6,000. But we are in a period of profound change. One needs to look only further than the fact we have record enrollment at multiple institutions, yet the dorms are partially filled. We've never had that before. He jumped to technology is changing every job, changing education. This is the central driver of change. And he referenced a national conference he attended with the editor of Forbes saying, if you think it's slowing down, we have evidence now across a range of industries, it is actually accelerating. So for the state board to be focused on technology, the changes is exactly the right thing. However, he warned the state board legislators that higher ed is built in to resist change, you know, alums who have their favorite topic, tenure, politics, et cetera. And then basically the question came up, well, how do we invest for the future? And he said the state board, the system, the chancellor should, you know, convene and collect the different presidents to look at the future opportunity areas. And that is, in fact, what Dr. Ryan has been doing with the research committee. And then the question came up about how can the state board change more? And one representative said, well, you've got two appointments coming up. Pick innovators and forward-thinking people. So, again, some familiar themes, but some new things he had in there. And in fact, he said, I would be, you know, looking very hard at where is research paying, and this gets back to the metrics that Dr. Ryan was talking about. So I would say the board is well positioned when we meet with him on the 23rd, 24th of March to be able to continue that discussion. Again, we have 7 hours with him on those 2 days, and I will be pulling together the Chancellor's Cabinet on the 11th of March for our kind of spring retreat to kind of focus our discussion and briefings. I'll just keep going then, Dr. Ryan, unless there's questions on that. The BSC presidential search, well, actually, I'll defer to Member Mihalik since he's the state board co-chair of that. Member Mihalik, did you want to bring an update on that?
Sure. Thank you, Chancellor. Actually, it just hit my inbox that the press release was sent out announcing the five finalists that were selected for BSC. So you should all be receiving that shortly. Give you the opportunity to read through that, but I will say that it's been a really good search, a very in-tune search committee, a lot of time and effort put into it. You know, my thanks to BSC and their staff, Rita, who's helping us, and Dan Langang, who's co-chairing. As it states here, we had 41 applicants. We were able to have, we interviewed 12 candidates last week. We've narrowed that to 5 on-campus interviews start next week, March 2nd through the 5th. So I'll be back in Bismarck for the week, and looking forward to it. Great candidates, good people, and excited about what's in front of us.
All right. Any questions for Member Mihalik? All right. Moving on down, item 19, I would like to make a request of the board regarding Dickinson that at the upcoming 26th March meeting, I would like the state board to consider appointing the current interim president, President Easton, to the permanent position. And he's already been through, quite frankly, 2 searches, one back in 2015, and then one most recently for the interim position. And so that meets any requirement for a search to be conducted, but we do acknowledge that it'd be important to get additional feedback. And I'd ask any feedback be directed to Terry Meyer, where she can collect this and then disseminate it to the board prior to that meeting. So I would just like to make that request of you all, and work with the board leadership to see if they can put that on the agenda. And I'll just keep moving on. Kind of in line with what the governor was talking about, the next several items get to what he's saying. Are we just resisting change and sitting static? Nothing be further from the truth, especially in this massive transformation of IT. So, Darren, do you want to hit a couple high points on IT, and then we'll move on to several other new things we've been doing?
Sure. Thank you, Chancellor. Chair Ryan, members of the board, 3 topics. I'll run through them fairly quickly, but I will pause after each one since they are 3 pretty different topics. The first one would be we are in the home stretch of a 9-month project called Recruiting Solutions. And Recruiting Solutions is a human resource management solution that we're implementing that it contains 2 parts. A gateway candidate piece, so in other words, a place for internal and external candidates to apply for jobs in the university system online electronically, and then also the talent acquisition manager piece, which is the workflow piece for campuses behind the scenes. We, like I said, we're in the home stretch. We will go live with this in March. We've worked very closely with our HR user group, the HR council, and then plus we also had formed a specific implementation group made of HR professionals from across the system to help us on a regular basis as we implemented this product to make sure that we produced a product at the end that was useful. It does do and streamline a lot of the business process of recruiting and then eventually hiring and a full-time employee. So with that, I'll just pause. You'll find out more about it once we're live with it. I'll probably at a face-to-face board meeting give you a demo of it too so you can see the changes. Okay, hearing none, I'll move on. Second update, last week we had a two-day IT Security Strategic Summit in Grand Forks that was attended by representatives from across the campuses. Also had four or five folks from North Dakota's IT department here with us, as well as a number of our different partners in different segments that provide services for us in IT security. It was a really, really good couple of days, and I just wanted to make sure the board was aware that this is part of our continuing effort to work closely with ITD. We know that we're much stronger together than we are apart, especially in the IT world, and very thankful for the relationship that we're building with them, and I think we're going to do great things over the course of the next 12 months by building out this common strategic relationship in the area of IT security. So I will pause there and take questions on that. Okay, thank you. And the final area, I just wanted to give you a quick update because I know we talk a lot about privacy. And we have, or I've continued to have a regular rhythm with Eric in the AG's office regarding things like GDPR, which is the European Union privacy regulations. You know, California now has enacted those. And one of our recent CIO meetings, Eric was kind enough to come and give us an update of the status of where we're at with this. But we do understand that you know, there's likely to be more bills coming in the next session from a North Dakota perspective. There's a number of other states that are working towards privacy regulations. I think right now we do a lot of the things that most of these bills are requiring. But really the clear way forward is this needs to be a federal piece of legislation. You know, if you think about higher ed with students from, you know, literally potentially every state, if every state had a different privacy regulation, it would become pretty untenable for us to be able to manage that. So we are keeping with it. We are on top of it, trying to understand where this is going to go. Most of the higher ed space is in the same boat, trying to understand where to go, but at the same time, to do the things that we think are important to make sure we maintain the privacy of records. So with that, I would take any questions that the board may have. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Darren. The other thing that we're doing, and I'll turn over to Phil, is basically the five-year annual strategy review. Again, I think we're well positioned with the governor. We have the long-term 2030 strategy implementation in progress. We have the day-to-day dashboards, and then we're doing the five-year update, and Vice Chancellor Weiss has been traveling around the state meeting with each of the campuses. So with that, Phil. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, members of the board. Phil Weiskopf here. We just returned from a visit to Wahpeton yesterday where we had a discussion with the leadership, student, staff, and faculty there. And what this is part of is a periodic review and consideration of the revised updated plan, which the board policy 303.2 requires us to do at least every 6 years. So we've been to 10 out of the 11 campuses, and tomorrow, along with the chancellor, we'll go to Dickinson State, where we'll go and have a good, these have been very, very good discussions. And in the end, we've had good inputs. We will come back to the board here in a month or two with the recommendations. Again, this is what it's called is periodic review and consideration. So we're getting good feedback from the campuses. One more visit to go. We'll put out a Qualtrics survey here once the campus visits are completed so that we can catch any additional inputs that folks might have throughout the university system, and then come back to you in the May and June time frame with recommendations. The Envision 2030 report informs this whole effort, and we on a broad range of topics as we're trying to adapt. And what we're hearing generally as we go around is that the campuses are making considerable efforts to adapt to some of the trends that we can all see coming. So tomorrow to Dickinson State, and then we'll be coming back to you soon.
All right. Well, thank you, Phil. Anybody have any questions on that? All right. Before our item 22, and I want to thank Dr. Darling and also Scogan as a co-chair of this, last summer in August, we recognized just the accelerating demand for digital skills from the oil fields to the River Valley to automated systems. The governor has endorsed a private sector effort called Emerging Prairie and their Emerging Digital Academy. Microsoft has given $1.5 million to that, and there's a recognition that our scale dwarfs whatever they can come up with. I don't think they've quite got it moving yet. They're still working the CTE. But we can't stand still, so Dr. Darling and Scogan are leading a group of how to better integrate all 11 campuses to fill these gaps as fast as we can. But with that, Doug, you want to hit a couple high points of where that work is?
Well, certainly, Chancellor. Chair Ryan, members of the board, first of all, we started with looking at what was available in terms of data. We reviewed the report from the Workforce Development Council in 2018, University of Mary's North Dakota Workforce Connections from 2019, and the 2019 K20W Cybersecurity Task Force recommendations. We also gathered data on what was currently available through all the NDUS campuses. We compiled a list of all degrees, certificates, industry certifications, and non-credit courses and trainings offered throughout the entire system, and with that, what is already available in the online format. One of our recommendations will be to develop an online portal of all the offerings from the campuses with hot links back to those campus offerings so that the industry folks looking for it have got one place to go and find it. Jerry Rostedt is already working on a draft of that searchable portal, and we're hoping to have something to take a look at here very soon. Jerry and the Chancellor and I also met with Greg Tavan from the Emerging Digital Academy to see what they were doing and if there was an opportunity to work together. They at this point have no interest in being an accredited provider. They're focused solely on developing skills in coding, and so we'll continue to see if there's any way we can do anything together, but at this point it didn't seem like they were interested in that. We've also been looking at the literature with articles about coding camps and academies and looking, you know, what could the university system do in the short term to provide some coding camps in multiple locations across the state. One of the key things we've discovered we need to do is we need to identify specifically what industry needs today and what they'll need going forward in the future. It's challenging to do that, but President Scogan is going to be working with an industry advisory group, starting with some of their advisory board members from their cybersecurity program, and we're going to try to identify what industry needs, what the system already has, and identify those gaps and look at ways that we can work together to meet those gaps by doing some joint programming and possibly some joint faculty appointments. The Chancellor has also drafted a concept paper looking at what it would take to have a comprehensive long-term solution for North Dakota. So, you know, that's where we're at. We've identified what the current state is, and we need to identify specifically what industry needs, and in particular, you know, what skill sets, what programming languages, and then identify the gaps between what they need and what we currently have and find a way to fill those gaps. And I guess I'll stop there and attempt to answer any questions.
All right. Thanks, Doug. And the draft or the prototype portal actually came alive last night, so we're working right along here. And some legislators actually see that as a potential higher ed innovation that we may get support for in these legacy discussions. So. All right, and last thing, there's a lot more things. Obviously, we just brought a couple forward to you, is there is a huge block noticed around the country, especially young men hitting advanced mathematics, and there's a pathway that's been tested in South Carolina and New York of changing the math requirements. And so we've got a study group, and with that, Jerry Mingler or President LaFay, whoever wants to jump in and give just a quick update to the board of where you are on that.
Yeah, good morning, Chair Ryan, members of the board. This is Jerry Mingler at Dakota College of Botno. I'll get things started, and then I'll ask Dr. LaFave to step in on things that I may have missed. Essentially, as the Chancellor has said, the Mathematics Pathway Project is a look at how math is currently being structured and required within our system colleges and universities. Nationally, the project, or the pathways concept, essentially asks the question, is college algebra the right entry-level math for majors? And traditionally, college algebra has been kind of the gateway mathematics course. The challenge is that not everybody needs college algebra. It appears that based on the research that's and the changes that have been made in other states, courses like quantitative reasoning and statistics might be a more appropriate entry level or even the capstone math course for certain majors. For example, is somebody in majoring in business, is college algebra a requirement? If somebody is going into secondary education, is college algebra the skill set that's needed, or would statistics perhaps be a bit better? What drives all of this is that if college algebra is a requirement and it is not necessarily the best math fit, and also with the skill level that's required, is it prohibiting students from completing their degree requirements? If there's another math requirement that is a better fit, could that help increase retention and program success and completion? So that's kind of the underlying reason for looking at changes in math requirements. Where we're at right now, we are in the process of doing a review of what our system-wide data tell us in terms of what are our math requirements, what are the success rates that we're seeing, and based on that, the intent of the of this project would be to come up with recommendations regarding do we adopt a model like the Carnegie Math Pathways? Do we look at something like Complete College America? And then also tied in with that, are there potential changes to our developmental math requirements? A major trend across the country is to have co-requisite instruction, meaning that if a student requires developmental education in math, rather than take it as a pre-course or a requirement prior to getting into, let's say, statistics, could they take those side by side? And so there are a lot of moving parts in all of this. We are getting close to, I think, having a chance to look at the data. And then we will, this project will require a lot of faculty and chief academic officer, as well as support staff that are working with math, particularly at the developmental level. And so we'll need a lot of input along the way, but essentially that's the intent. Are we structured in a way that is offering the appropriate level of math requirements by program, and how do we help, are there support mechanisms that are needed to help students achieve success? So that's quick. That's the Cliff's Notes version. I'll ask Dr. Lefebvre to add anything that I might have missed.
I really don't have anything to add. This is Al. Other than I know a number of years ago, Dr. Leingang at BSC and Dr. Geller at Minot State and Dr. Wirth at VCSU and others across the system had started to work on this and actually put together a white paper with some recommendations. And we'll be re-engaging, of course, all of the folks at the academic affairs level and at the faculty level as we move forward with this process.
Okay. Any questions? Other than that completes my report, Dr. Ryan.
Thank you, Chancellor Hagerud.
Chancellor Hagerud, I have a question.
Go ahead, Member Nesbitt.
Dr. Ryan, thank you very much. Yes, this is Member Nesbitt. Back to Dean Migler, President Lefebvre. I'm fully in support of this. I think it's a great review. I think this will help capitalize on our workforce needs and how we best meet those demands by, you know, forming our system and our education to this. Where did this begin? Is this at, you know, is this a state level? Is this a campus level? Is this national level? Where did this study on this math pathways originate? Maybe I missed it on that, but.
So this is Jerry Migler. There has been a lot going on, I would say, over the course of the last probably 5 to 10 years nationally. And so it's a trend that has picked up a lot of momentum. I previously was provost in the Colorado Community College system, and when I was there about 5 years ago, we had just fully implemented a major retooling of our math requirements using the math pathways model. So it has a lot of traction nationally, and a number of states have taken this on as statewide initiatives. I could ask Dr. Lefebvre, because I think in his previous experience in South Dakota, they had just gone through something very similar. So it does seem to, as we look at the information we've read, a statewide initiative seems to have a stronger impact rather than doing it institution by institution. But I don't know if I fully answered your question.
This is Al, Member Nesbitt, and I would echo what Dean Migler mentioned and say that in the South Dakota experience, my first introduction into math pathways was through our participation with Complete College America, and that being one of their major tenets in helping student retention for institutions and for students, especially as they navigate the math curriculum. I think many institutions have been doing this on an individual basis already. Some institutions are further down the road than others, but as Dean Mingler mentioned, the statewide system approach seems to have some value, at least in terms of transferability and making sure that our students are getting the curriculum that they need to have to be successful.
Thank you very much. I think this is good work, and I appreciate your efforts.
Very good. Any other questions for any of the reports from the Chancellor? If not, we'll move on to other reports. NDSA, Member Deshock.
Yes. The report this month will actually be relatively short because of the policy passed today. The North Dakota Student Association will begin to resume its normal operations. And so next month, I will have a lengthier report for you all as we make up for some lost time here in February. But to summarize, again, thanking everyone for supporting the new policy that we passed so that students can continue to operate and provide our feedback to the system, the board, and other interested actors. So thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for Caleb? Hearing none, CCF report, Dr. Dragseth.
Thank you. We are in the midst of, probably not in the midst, but maybe in the first 20% of starting a salary study. We put together a compensation committee, so I think that will be interesting as that floats along the next year. We are writing a letter, putting together, we've approved to put a letter of concern about Ole Larson serving on the State Board of Higher Ed nomination committee, so that's in progress. We also had our election of officers, and I did send that already to your office, so you will have the list. But the president, again, will be Ken Hellevang, Vice President Cheryl Nilsen from Minot State. Secretary will be Deanna Solheim from BSC. Treasurer Parliamentarian is Jeff Hart from North Dakota State College of Science. And I'll be the representative to the State Board of Education, again, from Dickinson State. So we have a really broad, I really like that our officers are from all universities across the state. So I think it's very, very positive. And that's all I have, unless there's any questions.
Very good. Thank you, Dr. Megsa. Any questions for her? Okay. Move on to Staff Senate, Aretha Mather.
Yes, thank you. So our last meeting was on February 10th. Majority of that meeting was spent planning for our upcoming face-to-face meeting, which will be held in Bismarck the week of June 22nd. We're identifying agenda items and other things that we want to work on as our group. That opportunity to get together face-to-face once a year is just really, really helpful for our cohesiveness and our planning. Also during the meeting, we discussed the FMLA policy, had some updates from the HRC regarding where things we're at now, and we're continuing to engage in conversations with the system office and propose policy changes regarding that that should be coming before the board within the next few months. So we're excited about that. During this meeting, I just received the State Staff Senate report with a summary from all the campuses, and I will share that with the rest of the board as soon as this meeting concludes. I was able to scan through it a little briefly, not going to go too in-depth into it since I just received it, but it looks like there's a lot of spring break activities planned as well as some other professional development opportunities and some different events that campuses are hosting as well this spring. And with that, our next meeting is scheduled for March 16th, which will be the week of spring break. Thank you.
Very good. Any questions for Rita? Okay, we'll move to public comment. Is there any public comments? Ask again, any public comment?
And just for the information, Dave Thompson's sitting here, but he doesn't want to say anything. So,
all right. So with that, we'll move on. Any assessment of this meeting and future agenda items? Next board meeting will be in Bismarck on the 26th of March, and then the following one will be April 29th. And with that, unless someone has something very interesting to say, do I need a motion to adjourn, Eric, or can we just stop it?
Chair Ryan, given that this is a phone meeting, you don't need a meeting to adjourn, or a motion to adjourn.
Can I have a motion for adjournment, please?
So move, Morton.
Anyone wants to stay on longer?
I'll move, Morton, that we adjourn.
Moved by Morton, seconded by
Pollock.
Hey, Member Pollock. Christy, take roll.
Ms. Nassett?
Yes.
Ms. Lauder?
Yes.
Mr. Morton?
Yes. I also have a comment. I think the chairman has the authority to adjourn without a motion for future reference. And Eric can correct me if I'm wrong, but yes.
Mr. Mihalik?
Yes.
Mr. Deshock?
Yes.
Or Chair Ryan?
Yes, and I hope Member Morton is correct. This meeting is adjourned. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, staff. Have a good, good day.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye. Bye-bye.
The conference will end in 2 minutes. The conference is now ending. Goodbye.